We already changed it to the tentative agenda. Meet the department heads and elected officials. Carrie Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. I just want to let everybody know that I know of, unless you guys change the rules on us, we will be open tomorrow for business, and it'll be up to each, I think we've always left it up to each individual department if they decide that the commissioners are.
Well, if anybody, we don't close down the courthouse.
Right.
If anybody wants to come work, you can come work. If they can't come to work, they can take a personal day or vacation day.
Yeah, that's what I've told several of them, so. That's about it, except for I'm gonna have to be looking for some new locations for some precincts again, so.
How'd you come out on the one out in church?
Oh, I was supposed to go out there tomorrow. We canceled that to the following Wednesday.
Okay.
Before we go and look at that, so we'll look at that option.
Thank you.
Rodney Buesner, Maintenance.
Good morning. Just a quick update on the jail control panel. They're gonna be there next week and probably midweek around Wednesday or Thursday, and start on the upgrade on the fire panel. They need to upgrade that fire panel first before they can do the control board, so they're looking at starting that process next week, middle of next week, and then hopefully a week after, maybe bring one of the computers in to do one or two of the doors to start trying it out and switching a little bit over. So it sounds like next couple of weeks they're gonna be there and start that process, get everything switched over.
They have a date yet for when they're gonna come in and switch the whole, they do that in like, what, like 8 or 10 hours?
Yeah, they said within like 24 hours, but they just want to kind of get a couple doors and make sure everything's gonna work right.
Yeah.
And then once they get that figured out, make sure that's working right, then we'll probably get a hard date on when they're gonna do the rest of them. So I can let you guys know more when I find out at that point.
Thanks, Rodney.
I'll let probably Gina cover the weather, but also a reminder too, when things do start warming up, everything's pretty well froze down, so when the temperatures do rise back up, things are gonna melt off and then they're gonna freeze again overnight. So just be careful, watch where you're walking on the sidewalks and the parking lots, no matter where you're at. So you're probably gonna get a lot of that in the next several weeks. That's all I have.
Thank you. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, good morning. Our offices are gonna be closed tomorrow. I think most all of my staff, if not all of them, stay home at the suggestion of me and emergency management. It isn't worth it. Trying to get kids brought to daycare and stuff like that, the families have to do in order to go get to work. So I know our main office is going to be closed, and Starscape Nature Center is always hit and miss anyway. Kind of depends on the schools, what they do. Some of my naturalists may have to still go do their school programs, but otherwise, we're taking tomorrow off, waiting for this little Arctic blast to pass. Although on the bright side, this is probably a good thing, because we had a lot of mosquitoes and ticks to kill off, so maybe this is doing that.
Silver lining.
Yeah.
Jared, how are things at Southeast that land use?
Yeah, well, it's probably the same as Conservation in terms of tomorrow. I don't know if we're necessarily going to be entirely closed, but I doubt many of us are going to be coming in, so it's par for the course with the weather conditions. In terms of business, typical, I'd say, with inquiries coming in. We got one item on the agenda for today, and that's about it.
Thank you. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. We'll be open. As far as I know, everybody will be there. Guys worked a lot of hours this weekend. They're back out today. The motor graders are trying to widen out the snow, but there are roads out there that are basically a lane to lane and a half wide at this point, and guess they won't get any wider until springtime rolls along. So I think folks have kind of relearned the lessons of what a winter can be like this if they live down a gravel road. But right now we're to a point where it takes about an inch of snow and a northwest wind, and roads are plugged solid again. So that's the nature of it. Guys worked a lot of hours. I appreciate all their work and time. It takes a lot of time away from anything else they've got going on, but they've put it in and I think done a pretty good job. So Got a little more freezing rain, so the gravel roads are slick, and that's not going to change. A little bit like Rodney and even Chris said, I think the ice isn't going away anytime soon. Sounds like some rain maybe even this weekend. That won't help gravel roads, so we'll see what happens. We did, at the DOT, I guess they did open bids there a week ago or so on a bridge project. All the results are unofficial, but it looks, unofficially, it looks like our Sperry Road Bridge came in under our engineer's estimate. So looks like it might come in maybe as far as 75,000 underneath the estimate. So that's a good deal. And I have official numbers I'll bring you guys. And I have a work session after this to kind of talk through some of the changes the DOT implemented on contracts and stuff. So I'll get into that a little bit deeper. So.
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney. You look busy out there.
Good morning. Just hearings. We're obviously still short-staffed, and apparently one of our assistants is going to take a really nice Caribbean cruise for the next week or so. So we've decided we don't like him very much today, tomorrow, and Thursday, because it's really not fair. Staying busy, we obviously had a new homicide last week, which I'll be handling. We've had a new arrest in the Chu homicide. And he has been brought over to Iowa, so we'll be dealing with that, staying fairly busy. Just trying to keep track of everything. The administrative assistant has started. She's getting her feet underneath her, finding everything, cleaning things out, and she's been running. Now it's her turn to run Rodney and Colin Ragged, trying to get everything addressed. But yeah, we're starting to get our feet underneath us. The advertisements went out for the investigator position and the attorney position yesterday, so hopefully in the next 2 to 4 weeks we can get those positions filled and start getting some normalcy going on in our office.
Thank you. Good luck. Zach, do you have anything to add to your discussion of land use? Did you get here in time to hear it?
I heard at least half of it. I think he took care of it pretty well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lisa Schreiner, Boyne County Reporter.
Don't have anything to say today. Nothing new to add.
Let's see now, Mallory Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. Just keeping busy. A motor vehicle always has business, walk-in, mail-wise, and everything. We did mail out the property tax credit claim forms for the taxes that will be billed in August. Last week we mailed those out, so those are starting to trickle back in. But other than that, just keeping on, keeping on.
Thank you. Gino Hardin, Emergency Management.
I think some of the people in the room are tired of my emails, but sent out another one this morning. Obviously, the weather is the big news. With the wind chills for us are supposed to be at negative 44 degrees by 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. They're slowly going to increase from there to a negative 28 by 3 p.m. So the actual temperature tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. is going to be a negative 20. So I honestly think Chris is making the right decision of closing, encouraging other people to, if you have to be out, be safe, make sure you have your emergency kit in your car, extra clothes, blankets, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a brutal next day and a half. I'm guessing that schools will I pretty much can say the schools are going to be closed tomorrow, probably a late start on Thursday. I don't think they've announced that yet, but I'm pretty sure that that's going to be the case. If not, they're crazy. My opinion. I spent most of the day yesterday working with Transitions DMC. They are looking at opening a shelter at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and it's going to be at St. John's Church Cafeteria on 120 South 8th Street in Burlington. They're going to be open 2 p.m. today through Thursday afternoon. They felt that we needed an overnight shelter, open 24/7, so they decided to do that on their own. So it's not a county emergency been declared or anything like that, but they are doing that on their own. Salvation Army is also going to have a warming center open on Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for anybody that wants to go in and just warm up, get a warm drink and food, etc. So they have both stepped up the plate to do that. The other thing is, if you have not heard, RAGBRAI is coming to town. So we'll see how that goes. When they are in town on July 26th, it's also the same date as the county fair, if you have not looked at the schedule. So that'll make it a little more challenging for us, where we're gonna put people overnight. I've been here through two rag rides. We've always, they've dipped their tires and left. And this year we get them overnight. So we'll see. I haven't been contacted yet. I kind of hope I won't, but I know better. You know, I can hope. And then the last thing I had is we're doing a CERT Academy again the next two Saturdays, and we have over 30 people signed up for that. So we're hoping that most of them will be interested enough to join our community emergency response team. Especially with RAGBRAI coming, we're gonna need all hands on deck. So lots of things going on. And if you're not on my email list and you wanna be, let me know. Try to limit it to two times a day on emails, but you may get more.
Thanks, Gina. Krista, how are things in local health?
Good morning. Keep them busy. Like Gina said, the weather is going to be setting in. We really encourage people to be safe. If you don't need to go out, don't go out. Make sure you check on your elderly neighbors. Just make sure everyone's doing okay. And remember your pets in this cold weather as well.
Thank you. Mike Johnstone, Des Moines County Sheriff.
I just got to ask, since RAGBRAI is coming through, is it too late to ask for four more deputies? Hey, we still got the budget working, so we never overnighted them here, so I know this is going to be interesting.
Wing a couple of those bicycles when they first come into town, and the rest of them will behave.
So I would just like to say, too, that tomorrow and the next day is going to be extremely dangerous out there. If you can stay home, stay home. We'll be out there, but the deal is if you get in trouble out there, you know, Brian will tell you this, the way the snow blows, you could get caught in a snowdrift out on the county roads. If you get in trouble, if someone should get in trouble, call us immediately so we can get to you, one way or other. But there will be people traveling, we know that, people have to go to work, but if you can stay home, stay home. The other thing that I worry about, we will get calls on, is animals that are outside. You must care, you must provide adequate shelter, food and water for animals. And that is very important. And we will be answering calls and we'll be making sure that people properly take care of their animals because they will suffer in this cold. So, make sure that that's taken care of also. But this is, hopefully we'll get through this with no issues, but this kind of cold will kill you very quickly. And I think that's why we're seeing schools close and hypothermia is a real danger in something like this. And if you do get stuck out, stay with your car. Don't get out and try to walk to a house or anything like that. It's always better to stay with your car. Have an emergency kit. And a charged up cell phone so you can communicate. And if you can't get a signal, you can message. People understand you can also message to get a hold of people. That takes a different type of system. So again, we'll be out there, but be sure that you, if you do get in trouble, you call us.
Thanks, Mike. Tell your deputies be careful out there.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. Did I miss anybody? So, correspondence. Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence? We got one of American Ordinances. Letter. Regarding the Class 1 permit modification. The Iowa Army Ammunition Plant is requesting a Class 1 permit modification to the reference permit to address the following change. In permit attachment V-1 open burning standing operating procedures SOP, SOP number 10000H013 is to be replaced with a revision dated 3 January 2019. Please note the above SOP has not been provided with this letter. If you have a need to review the above SOP, please notify the point of contact for forwarding of your request to the Army Security Officer. We must review all requests prior to information being released to the public in the interest of protecting national security. Point of contact is Mr. William J. Hilger. This will be on file at the auditor's office if anybody has the... need to follow up on that. We'll proceed to discussion and vote. The first item is a resolution regarding public input. And this has been talked about off and on since the time I've been here. And I think you got copies of this. And I spoke to an attorney, a number of counties do this, so I will read this and you gentlemen can. Resolution number 2019-005, resolution limiting the length of public comments. Whereas the board has a compelling interest in regulating the length of individual comments to conserve time, maintain order, and ensure that all interested constituents have the opportunity to be heard during the public comment period of its meetings. Whereas pursuant to Iowa Code section 21.7, the board may make and enforce reasonable rules for the conduct of its meeting to protect these interests. Whereas, mindful of its ability to revisit adjust time limits should circumstances so demand, the board finds that 2 minutes per person for each issue is a reasonable time limit to impose upon public comments. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County, Iowa, as follows. Section 1, limitation on the length of public comments. Comments during any public comment period at meetings of the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors shall hereby be limited in duration to 2 minutes per person for each issue raised. Section 2, when effective, the resolution shall be effective upon its passage and approval as provided by law. Passed and approved this 29th day of January 2019. Gentlemen, have any thoughts?
Move to approve. Hey, we've had some pretty lengthy things where they come in for one thing and end up three or four things, so this probably put an end to that, so I'll second that.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have payroll claims reimbursements in the amount of $416.73 and non-cash taxable reimbursements in the amount of $87.63.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have J&M's displays annual yearly firework permit. The auditor's office always provides it to us in order, so what are your wishes, gentlemen?
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a Class C liquor license for Fat Annie's Augusta Tap, and I spoke to the sheriff, and he said there wasn't any problem.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a resolution and final plat for Kennedy Acres subdivision. I believe this is you.
Yep. Minor subdivision located in Pleasant Grove Township on Pleasant Grove Road and about a mile northwest of Pleasant Grove. pretty simple deal here. It's a one-lot subdivision. Technically it's enlarging an existing lot, but because it's the added piece is more than 50% of the total in our ordinance, that triggers a subdivision. Basically what's going on here is there's an estate that's being dissolved, and different family members each live along Pleasant Grove Road, and the property currently under that estate is being, I want to split that down the middle, which currently does not conform with parcel lines. So in this instance, they're taking the eastern half of the of that one, the larger, I think it's almost 40-acre parcel, and adding it to the piece that's south of the Talley residence, and the Talleys would then maintain ownership of the property from here on out. No change of use proposed as part of this subdivision, which would, by the way, the lot is about 26 acres. It's currently used for farming on the pretty much the northern half. There's some timber and CRP ground on the south side with a little stream running through there. Another member of the family uses that for farming, and that's not proposed to change. So with regards to our review process, we did not receive any significant comments from the departmental review, so we feel confident then in recommending approval of Kennedy Acres subdivision.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We'll get this stamped and signed for you after the meeting. We have personnel actions. We have one for conservation. We have a Kelly Rundell, an interpretive naturalist. End of probation period. Previous rate was $17.69 an hour. New rate is $18.50 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have two personnel actions for the Sheriff's Office. We have Kevin William Glendenning, a deputy investigator, promoted to sergeant. Previous rate was $57,479.60. New rate is $62,652.76. We have Chad Taylor McCune, sergeant, promoted to lieutenant. Previous rate was $62,652.76. The new rate is $67,825.93.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Congratulations, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
You are. Congratulations to Lieutenant McCune. We have the sheriff's. We have the sheriff's monthly report for December of 2018. We have the Dewey Buyer Trust 2018 report and the jail stats for November 2018. These reports will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. Meeting of January 22nd, 2019.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. And we have minutes for the special session on January 24th, 2019.
Approved.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Probably should abstain.
Tom Broker?
Aye. Is there any other business? I have none. Future agenda items. have none. Committee reports.
I also have none.
About all I did was go to the annual meeting for the chamber.
I went to the COBCO, the City County Health Insurance Board meeting, and they had the new insurance rates and the meeting pretty much centered around those, and Kevin retired as the union representative. That's all I have. Public input.
Yes, sir.
So anybody would like to speak, please stand. You don't need to come to the lectern unless you'd like to. If you'd like to, you're welcome to come to the lectern. There's a speaker, so it'll pick you up. Please stand, give your name and address for the record. Thank you.
I'm Sam Larson. I live in Des Moines County on Memorial Park Road, 10671. Memorial Park Road, and I'm gonna look at the clock here. I got 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to address the fact that our telephone service has been out for 9 days. We have CenturyLink service, and I've got the facts and figures for the count. I took a monthly CenturyLink bill, added up the county sales tax is 53 cents, local 911 is $1, county tax is 0.3%, that's $1.56, and we got two lines in our house, so times two, that's $3.12 for 1 month, basically that went into the county pool of money, and so we can't get a fix. We made the complaint, but that's it. We just gotta wait till I have cell phones. My lady does not have a cell phone. She works, and I take her to work or whatever. She has to call anyway, and that's the complaint or the suggestion that get the darn. We have to. Anyway. That's all I have to say on that, and I got half a minute. I have two cartoons from the Hawkeye. One is non sequitur. It says, you gotta admit, it's more accurate than polling station. And the sign there says, anger distribution station, vote here, vote. And then the other one is, I'm pretty sure it's a Russian bot guru, and truth and all truth. And you will enjoy that, Tom, I know. And I will give you this, and there's my statistics on that for the phone bill.
Okay, thank you.
May I make a comment on the phone bill? That most of those charges that come by the government are going to, like, DESCOM, and DESCOM, your communication for your fire and sheriff.
Okay.
And so it's generally for your protection, and if you had a way of getting hold of them, they would come.
Okay.
So even with whether you have phone service or not.
Yes.
So, you take it up to the sheriff, tell him how high price.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Any further public comment?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. My name is Ryan Drew, 12688 Flint Bottom Road, Burlington, Iowa. Serve as the president of the Des Moines Henry County Labor Council, as well as the Southeast Iowa Building Trades, and work here locally with Local 150 as a business rep in the construction industry. I just want to make a few comments. You know, Iowa, last couple of years we've heard about how important it is to have a skilled Iowa. You know, one of the biggest shortfalls the coming years is going to be finding skilled help. So I never understood why we as a state continually attack the people that show up and do our work every day. As a county, we want good people being the face of our county doing our business. So why are we? We understand we can't control what goes on at the state, and whatever one party or another does, we can't control it at the Board of Supervisors level. And I don't understand why we would start an attack to gut our workers for this county and their contract, the assurances that they have and that they've developed over the 40 years of negotiating. Again, nobody here is asking to get rich off the county, but in the construction industry, I know, our guys love chaos on a project, right? The saying is chaos equals cash. That means the project's going to slow down, it's going to earn more wages because we're only on that for a limited time. Why would we want to create, you know, the contract establishes work rules, harmony in the workplace. Why would we, as a taxpayer myself, why would, I don't want to be on that other end of that, paying the bill for that chaos, right? So I don't, I guess I'm a little befuddled on why we want to create that now. Couple questions that I have is, one, whose idea this was to create this? Too many times we see attorneys from outside towns say this is what's going on across the state. Is that something that's being brought into our community, or is that an idea that was originated from here? The other question is, if we're going to switch to a handbook, what's the cost to that? Attorneys don't work for free. If they're creating it, what's the cost to our taxpayers to create that and reinvent the wheel? Again, plenty of research shows that stability in the workforce makes a more efficient and better value to taxpayers who's paying these wages. And you know, one of the things when you look at, you know, I know every time you go into contract, you start with language. Because anything you want there, there's a value. Mr. Broker, you know that very well in negotiating. You start with language because there's a value, and we'll end up on the money after you figure out what you want for new language. In this case, we're going to walk in and erase 40 years of language. I mean, in what, in whose mind is that not theft? If just because you have the opportunity to take advantage of somebody, I would hope we're not portraying in our community that that's acceptable, that just because you have the opportunity, you should be able to do that. That's not the way I was raised, and I would hope most of the people in our county do not find that acceptable. So I guess, you know, all this, you know, I know, Mr. Broker, you said that you've been talking about this since 2010, limiting the speaking. So I guess if that's going to be the new policy, I would ask that there's a public hearing held on this and see if it's the taxpayers that actually want to strip the contract from these workers. If not, I would ask for your support in reinstating, maintaining the contract that was in place. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Drew.
Annika McVeigh, 2232 Cherokee Drive, Burlington, Iowa. I just wanted to let you know that I love my county and support its employees who live and spend money here. I trust these county workers to keep my personal information secure and confidential. I trust the men and women who clear the roads, sidewalks, and alleyways in our county to keep it safe during winter weather so I don't get hurt. I trust the county workers to help me fill out my marriage certificate or when I sell a vehicle. I trust the county workers that when I vote, they don't change or misplace my ballot. I trust when my computer crashes or the lights go out, the IT and maintenance come to my rescue. I trust the Board of Supervisors to keep my taxes low and run a smooth functioning county. As a resident of Des Moines County, I put a lot of trust in them. Why do you want to take that trust away by stripping their contract? I would ask you to please leave the trust intact and not remove it from this wonderful county. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to remind you, if you'd rather not stand at the lectern, you don't have to, but if you want to, you're free to.
My name is Stacy Reed. My address is 3179 170th Street, Burlington. And Sunday night, this has been at bay for a couple of years now, but Mr. Michael Hansen's dogs attacked my horse. I have photos here of the injuries for you guys. This is an issue, and our graphic. This is an issue that needs to be revisited. My husband had to shoot both dogs to get them off of my horse. I had to tell my little girls last night when they got back from their dad's house that their horse was attacked and injured. Both of them were sobbing because their baby was hurt. Deputy Phillips come out to my house to take the report. And let me tell you, he was absolutely amazing. He helped, he found the collar on one of the dogs, took that off, and then proceeded to go to his vehicle and get his first aid kit and help apply pressure to the horse's wounds until the vet showed up. And he stayed with us, kept me calm through this whole process, and still continued to check on the horse throughout the night, even brought his own personal medication that he had for his horses to us. Now something has got to change. I know we can't do a leash law in this county. There's no reason to punish good pet owners, but we're wanting to get cows and other horses, goats. Why would I go spend my money when these dogs are running loose 2 miles from my house? And all this man can say is, sorry, it slipped its leash. This is not the first time that they've been out there bugging my horse. This is not the first time that they have been on our property. We have them on trail cam on our property. My children and I like to go up to the levee and look for shells and different things that, you know, wash up from the river. How are we supposed to feel safe going up there? One of those wolf hybrid dogs was shot up on the levee by I don't know who, but there it was laying where we like to go and look for shells. How am I supposed to feel safe with my children and my animals with these dogs running loose? We need to come to some conclusion here that these are not okay, and he needs to be held accountable instead of, oh, here's $300 for your vet bill. I'm sorry. That doesn't cover the time that we've had to spend on this. Doesn't cover the stress. Somebody's got to be with that horse constantly checking on him. This was Sunday, and he finally stopped bleeding yesterday.
Is the horse going to be okay?
Barring any infection, yeah. They couldn't stitch him because of the cold. They didn't want the bacteria to grow. So he has a gaping wound right here on his face that you can see his teeth from these dogs attacking him. This is not okay. And I thank God that my children were not there to see this.
Sheriff Johnson, is there anything in the Iowa law that you know that you can do about this? I mean, we put the ordinance in for these dogs, and these dogs are, well, they're not vicious dogs anymore, they're dead.
Right.
But is there anything that you can do as a department?
Well, the code has some very specific language in it that basically states that he is responsible for the damages. So he is legally liable for any damages that occur. With that said, there's really no, there's not anything we can do as far as a citation or anything like that to him, because basically our rules deal with animals that are still alive. And so I think it is time that we, when we did originally put this together, we knew that it was a work in progress. We knew there could be some changes to it. But again, here we have another incident with the same owner, an ongoing situation that we have, that we're all very aware of. And I believe that something further needs to be done. For someone that has these type of animals that roam the countryside. And we're lucky, again, we talk about luck, but it's only eventually going to happen for somebody who's seriously injured. This has already happened at his house. We know back in April of 16, his dogs attacked his grandchild. So here we go. We have another report of him, you know, running the county. There needs to be some accountability other than I will take care of your vet bill. And I think it's, I'll get with Lisa and we can talk about some strategy.
There's a section in that code I pointed out to the sheriff that I don't know if you have to stretch it or something like that. Terribly distressed to hear this. So I don't think it would hurt if you would call his landlord again.
Lisa, if she went to her lawyer as a civil matter, wouldn't she have a good leg to stand on?
Yeah, probably. Is his property trespassing on private property of another, causing damage? He's not making any efforts or enacting any due diligence to ensure his animals aren't on the property. Yes, she would have a good cause of action civilly, and that will give you a little more teeth because it's more than just vet bills. In a civil action, you can ask for things like emotional distress, make an emotional distress claim, and then that gets pain and suffering and some of those non-pecuniary damages that can be covered.
But then on
that
note,
it's just money.
I'm not looking for money. I want something done about this. You can't put a price on seeing your children sobbing because their horse is tore up.
I totally agree. But if my livestock got out in the road and I ran somebody's or they ran somebody's car off in the ditch and hurt their kids, I'd have hell to pay.
Correct.
And so should this guy.
But this gentleman obviously is not understanding this issue.
If he will understand, he'll understand a judge, because then that guy, that sheriff, have a lot more teeth.
So I need to go get a civil lawyer.
I would. I hate to tell people to spend their money, but I totally agree with you. I mean, we spent a lot of time on this and thought we were doing as much as we could. We have a whole lot of people that work at the county who live in your neighborhood.
It says in this report that I received from the sheriff's office, it has to attack my horse on two separate occasions before him and his staff can do anything?
The board can declare it. Any dog may be seized and impounded by the. Anyway, it's defined anywhere, but any dog believed to pose a risk or a threat of harm to any person or domestic animal. I don't know how much preemptive that would an attorney would have to look at that.
But my husband was forced to shoot these dogs.
And sometimes that's what it takes. That's it's your property. If something comes on it, and some people would rather not do that. I'm happy your husband was there, so it wasn't worse.
I think the state law says that if they're bothering your livestock, which would be a horse, you can shoot it.
Yeah, you can.
They're on your property.
They're on your property.
If they're in the act of chasing, attacking, biting a human or other domestic animal, yes, they can be. The problem is here is that the ongoing bottom line here is that we tend to blame the dogs when we should be looking at the root cause, and that's the owner. And what do we do to assure that it doesn't happen again? If you turn any animal like that loose, there's potential for issues. You know, so there has to be a responsibility of the owner not to let that happen or to keep them properly penned. And so, yes, you have the right to do that. However, if they had not been there, that horse would be dead. And then we would be looking for the offending horses like we have in other cases, or the offending animals or dogs. So I would like the board's direction to get with Lisa and see if there's anything that we can potentially do to, you know, fix this or dress this up to the point where it includes someone that keeps these animals and fails to properly contain them.
or something. And we talked about the leash law, and we don't like that idea. But again, you know, the reality of it is that if we had a leash law or a limited leash law of some kind, where they had to stay on their own property,
You've got one guy that doesn't care.
Yeah, but he would be held responsible.
I had those people don't want that. They don't want, you know.
Yeah.
You got one guy, and it's pretty tough to write an ordinance about Joe Jones or something like that, you know, and say this guy's irresponsible. He doesn't
right.
care. I don't know how you deal with that.
Well, that's why I want to give Lisa, but
yeah,
that,
I encourage you to do that.
You have my blessings on that.
The reality of it is that we have no recourse out there unless the animal, and it can be trespassing 10 miles from the house, but we don't have any recourse unless there's an actual event. So there's the concern. Or we can do the rabies tag, and we do that too. But again, I think it goes back to the owner of the dog and the responsibility that he holds to keep these animals contained. And the again, we have this, but these animals are, we can't impound them, they're already dead. So I mean, it's
if
like...
If there's no civil penalties, you can't, like I said, you can't write a,
yeah.
you can't write a water to deal with one person that's
yeah.
irresponsible. It's pretty tough, so I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I understand, but
yeah,
again,
maybe you and Lisa can come up with something.
Yeah, there needs to be some accountability, other than I'll pay the vet bill.
We should take the risk of dogs away.
Oh, no,
sorry,
yeah.
doesn't
I know authority
to fix.
You know, we've been out there several times ourselves, going by there and seeing where the dogs are at. We just really have only seen just one in the yard. But your sheriff, your deputy's been driving out there occasionally and checking on them.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the first time, I think it's been, we got, what, maybe a year since we've had any complaints for them really running loose.
Yeah. I got a picture a few months ago.
And we have them on our trail cams.
Yeah.
Our property is fenced in with the exception of the spot we have cut out for hunting. Our property is fenced in. That's where these dogs are coming in. So we are taking steps as property owners to protect our animals. We can't protect them from these guys.
I suggest you get a lawyer.
Right.
You're gonna get Lisa on that?
Yep. Yeah, at the board's direction, I'll do that.
Yeah, you got my blessing on that.
No, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. Lisa, after what issue would have?
I can't proceed with something that I don't have any support for, so
yeah,
I have
no,
to make
well,
sure
well,
I have support.
You've got support to
you
fix
got,
this problem.
Okay.
Yeah. But our sympathy, that's up. But
I appreciate that, but yeah. I'm willing to work with you guys, Lisa, Mike, to get something in place. And you can't punish every dog owner in the county for this.
No.
Because of one careless person. We need a resolution. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry about your flowers. I hope your kids heal up.
Anyone else for public comment?
I might. One other thing I'd like to say, and I'll go, this is on this other subject with Brian. My background goes back to a union officer, union member, up to my becoming a sheriff. And I will tell you this, that without a doubt, I have a tremendous workforce. I will tell you that union contracts bring stability to the department. I think a handbook is just something that can be changed, gives them no protection whatsoever. I am in support of them, and I would hope that the board would look at a contract. I know you don't have to, but I certainly think it makes a lot of sense to have that in place for the protection of our people. Boards change, sheriffs change, and I do believe it's a good idea to have that for the stability of my department. I have tremendous, like I said before, I have tremendous people working for me. They don't have to worry about what's in the handbook. They would if it was such. The boards change, and I think it's important that we give our people the protection.
Any other public comment?
Thank you.
See no one rise. With an eye, we're adjourned.